Wish you had my view, and you could see every candle, every light. As Jesus says in Matthew 5, little kids, even with your LED candle, don't let your light be hidden. Hold it up, let it shine. There they are. Join me in prayer if you would. Oh Lord Jesus, we praise you this morning. Lord Jesus, who came in awesome glory so long ago, we ask, Lord, that you would empower us now to be people of expectant hope, persistent peace, unspeakable joy, and reckless love. To our God, whose love is from everlasting to everlasting, whose compassion never fails, and whose forgiveness has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west, be all glory and praise and honor forever and ever. And oh Lord, we eagerly wait for you, our glorious Savior, our forever light. And we proclaim, come, Lord Jesus, come. And together, as the people of God, we say, amen. Thank you. If you would, please blow out your candle for now. Okay. Thank you for participating in our candlelight ceremony. If you have your Bible with you or your Bible app, you can join me in the Gospel of John. I'm going to start in chapter 3 and eventually we'll land in chapter 17. You know, Jesus was born at night into a dark world, into a sinful and troubled world he came, and he shined his light. Love had come into the world in a manger in Bethlehem, and after they had given him the name Emmanuel, God with us, Joseph and Mary were visited by shepherds of all people, and sometime later after the birth night, Gentile magi visited as well, bringing gifts of love and honor. And we remember that it was by the starlight that they found their way to Jesus. And these wise men, they celebrated the King of Kings with royal gifts, and yet what they did not know, and maybe sometimes what we take for granted, is that it would be Jesus's redeeming love and his unquenchable light that would save their souls and ours. But before we romanticize Jesus' first coming too quickly, I want to ask us to not forget the recklessness of his advent. Think about as you travel down your neighborhood streets, or maybe you've gone with family and friends to a church nativity scene. What do you see? Well, it appears as you look at it that things are safe, right? Things are tidy. Even sanitary. The hay appears put together and soft and clean somehow. Joseph and the shepherds, well, they bless their hearts. They've been able to groom themselves and to keep their beards clean, and they look fantastic. And then there's little Lord Jesus, right? He's wrapped up in swaddling clothes made of 100% cotton, shining white. Not a speck of dirt's on him. He's smiling, he's happy. And then, of course, King Herod and his band of baby-killing soldiers are nowhere to be found. And so, if we just pause and think about how we often think of the nativity, how differently the reality of the moment must have been, right? A newborn. A newborn, and his parents stashed away with the animals, surely covered in dirt and sweat, probably blood, weeping tears of joy and pain, fear, probably hunger. And how shocked and uncertain Mary and Joseph must have been when a few reclusive men smelling like sheep manure show up to see their son. And then sometime again after the birth, foreigners show up with their gifts, but also a warning. King Herod was on his way with intentions of killing their baby boy and every baby boy in sight. Frankly, this doesn't sound like a very wise plan to save the world, right? As a matter of fact, if the God of heaven were to ask me for advice, which obviously he doesn't need my help or anyone else's help, but if he would have asked my suggestions on the plan, it would have been without risk. It would have been more logical. However, as Stephen mentioned before our candlelight ceremony, God chose to love in such a way that, if we're honest, if we're paying attention, is a bit shocking. And his love, it's unpredictable, it's relentless, and even reckless, at least from our vantage point. And so when we read the words from John chapter 3, we know it so well, most of us, from verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, would not die, but have everlasting life or eternal life." And we often forget the reckless side of that love, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." It was reckless of Jesus to come to earth, logically, wouldn't you agree? To go from divine throne to fragile infant inside a chaotic and violent world, that seems reckless to me. And it was not logical to sacrifice everything for a world full of ungrateful sinners, ransoming the lifeless blood of humanity with the priceless blood of Jesus. However, as we think about it, it's that same beautiful, unconditional, reckless love that brings the world to life again. That open-armed, selfless embrace of God. That's the picture, that's the essence of his redeeming love. And when we celebrate the first advent of Jesus, we celebrate an unrestricted love breaking into the world to make all things new and to remember his promise that he will come again. So, church family, here's my prayer for us this Advent season, that we, as disciples of Jesus, that we would truly remember what love is. Means and what it is. When we declare our intention to love as Jesus has loved us and loved the world, we must remember that that does not mean a love that is safe. That doesn't mean a love that is full of exceptions. And it certainly doesn't mean a love for people who look like us and act like us and think like us only. It's an all-encompassing, full embrace, unconditional kind of love. And so my prayer for us is that we would dare to ask the Lord to show us how to really love like him in an unrestricted, selfless kind of way. And as we pray that bold prayer today, and as we head toward Christmas Day, we would do well to remember that we have one great asset on our side as we try to say and live out that prayer. You know what that is? Jesus prayed for you. And he prayed for me and all future believers specifically from the great prayer of Jesus in John 17. I'll be reading starting in verse 21. Jesus is praying. He says, "Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they, future believers, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them. And then listen, and that I myself may be in them." Let that last part soak in. Did you catch it? Jesus' yearning was for God to make known his love in us, and even more than that, that he himself would make his home in us. That was his yearning. That was his prayer. And so God's brand of love is selfless and sacrificial, and Jesus modeled it for us. And so now, if you proclaim to be his disciple, or if you are ready today to become his disciple, then we are now called to follow him so that his love is brought to full expression in us and through us to the world. You know what I believe? I believe that Holy Spirit is at his best. He does his best work when Christians submit to his presence and to his command to love our neighbor as ourself. So what if we prayed this Advent prayer today? God, as your love is unrelenting, as it is unrestrictive, as it is unconditional, make my love for others be a reflection of your love to them. And that prayer may sound simple. That may sound like a prayer that you've prayed before, but did you really meet it? And did you live it? I think this is a daily prayer. I think this is a daily commitment that we make. And if we dare to utter this prayer, what might it look like? What might it look like if we actually live lives of love as Jesus loved? Well, I can't give you an exhaustive list this morning, but I want to give you a few portraits, and here's the first one. It's family. Linking arms and loving each other through thick and thin. God's love compels us to rise above opinions and preferences, and petty disagreements, and various backgrounds in order to love one another well. Authentic love does not run away from tough times. It does not run away because someone disagrees with me. It doesn't run away from awkward situations or from helping someone carry their burdens. Last time I checked, Paul told us, he commanded us to carry one another's burdens, thus fulfilling the love, the law of Christ. Church, we are family. And God's love within us that Jesus prayed would dwell in us empowers us and unleashes us to lock arms and to stand firm and to hold one another up. And isn't it like children to give us a picture of what that looks like? This is Christ's love living in us. The second picture I would give you is prayers of the people. Prayers of the people is not just something we do on Sundays. Praying with and for people should be an active daily expression of God's love within us and for others. And what I've come to learn the hard way often is that everyone has a story. Everyone has a story. And most often, everyone is in need of a loving interaction. And so when someone is in need of something physical like food or clothes or financial help or other physical needs, all of these things are true needs. But they are not their primary need and they're not your primary need. Our primary need as human beings is for someone, anyone, to actively listen, to sit with us, to look us in the eye, and let us know that we are valued, that we are honored, that we are loved. And I have found, and I'm sure that you have too if you've practiced this, I have found that almost no one rejects the offer for prayer. And as disciples, we believe that prayer matters, that it is powerful because of who is listening. Right? And here's the thing, even unbelievers, when you offer to pray for them, they may not see prayer as an expression of faith, but they always see it as an expression of our love for them. The third picture I would offer you of what God's love in us looks like if we'll live it out is a caring community. Compassion and kindness, they seem to be on shortage these days. I don't know if you've noticed. However, as we know the story of Jesus, the gospel of Jesus is full of his compassion and kindness for the people that he interacted with. And the authors of the New Testament, they continually use these phrases of do good to others or just doing good. Don't give up on doing good. And so I just want to remind us today, encourage us, let us not give up on doing good, tangibly sharing God's love for our neighbors by doing what is good. And when we do that, it's Jesus' love in us being shared with those around us. And then the last picture I would offer is being light. This is last year's candlelight ceremony. And we are called to be light, right? Not just within these walls as we powerfully experienced just a moment ago, but we are called to be light outside of these walls. Here's Jesus' words, hear them. Let them soak in. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. We are called to live as compassionate, light-filled servants for the sake of the world. And so I pray you take the picture that you saw, the visual that you saw of the light in this room illuminating the darkness. And I don't know if you noticed, but before anyone else lit their candle, Stephen lit the Jesus candle. And when the lights went down, even this one light illuminated the room. And so never underestimate the power of God living in you. Even one light in the darkness is powerful and makes a difference. And so as we have been reminded these past 4 weeks, Advent is about hope. It's about peace. It's about joy and love that Jesus Christ ushered into the world. However, we want to notice and recognize this morning that even in the midst of these beautiful truths, we still find ourselves yearning for what God's going to do next. We find ourselves yearning for the second coming of Jesus, and we're surrounded by many painful realities. But this is where the people of God step in to the gap. This is where the people of God become a reflection of God's love and light to the world. And so take a look around, church. We are surrounded by our brothers and sisters in Christ this morning. And Jesus' love dwells in us. And so let us be a reflection of his love and light to each other this morning. And so right now,